You know, there's times in life where we're reminded that life is short. Does anybody have those reminders? I know Brother Jim has those reminders on a regular basis that life is short working at the funeral home. And, you know, there's times where it doesn't seem like it, right? I know as teenagers, life does not seem very short. It seems like you're never going to get out of high school. Like this is never going to end. Most often, as you get older, that time seems to go by a little bit faster. But it still can seem like, I mean, I was reading in Genesis, and I'm reading, you know, the genealogy there, and you read how old some of those people were in the Old Testament. Like, that's a long life. I mean, if you're going to live to be like 964 years old, that's a long life, right? 70, 80, even 100 years old, that's really not that long. Some of those guys didn't even have kids till they were 100. Imagine that. How would that work out today? Imagine trying to chase around a toddler when you're 100 years old and you can barely walk. But you know, life is short. It goes by quick. And we don't really know how short it's going to be, right? We have no idea. I joke with my family sometimes that, you know, when I was 38, I told them I was halfway through my life, right? Because I was going to live to be 76. And like, you know, I just said, I don't want to, like, I already feel like my body's breaking down and I don't want to end up in a diaper is all I'm concerned about. I don't want to revert all the way back to where I'm in a diaper and someone has to change me and feed me and all that. But, you know, I was just joking with him. I'll live as long as the Lord lets me, as long as he can tolerate having me around. Maybe he's keeping me here so I don't bug him up there. I don't know. But you know, we don't know how short our lives are going to be. And we need to have a little more urgency in our lives. Right, we need to have a little more urgency. I love that the stuff that Bud was sharing and even stuff that Jason had shared goes right along with what I'm talking about today, because we need to have urgency in our lives because the time is short and life is short. And shouldn't we be living each day as if it were our last? Right? You ever, I mean, I'm not saying, like, don't go to work. I'm not saying go blow all your money because Jesus is coming tomorrow. But I'm saying, shouldn't we be living each day as if it's our last? Like, the people that I love, that I need to be reaching out to, that I need to be helping, like, should I be putting them off till tomorrow? I might not be here tomorrow. They may not be here tomorrow. And so we should have a little bit more of an urgency in our lives. Today we're going to be in Romans chapter 13. I'm going to talk about the ups. I got three ups out of this section today. Romans 13 verse 11 to 14. And it says, "And do this, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." This starts out, "And now do this." And I didn't include that part, but the previous verses, he's telling us to love one another. So love one another because the time is short, right? Love each other because, knowing the time, it's time to wake out of sleep because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. When we are called to love one another, you know, he also tells us in the preceding verses that we don't owe anything to anyone except to love one another. Like, that's all we should owe one another, is just to love one another. And he tells us that following his commandments is love, because love does no harm to a neighbor. You want to know how to love someone? You don't cause them harm, right? I think we kind of complicate that sometimes. You want to know how to love your neighbor? You just don't cause them harm. Do that, okay? Do that. But why do we do that? Why should we love one another? Why is that so important? Because they offended me, so I don't really want to love them today. Like, maybe tomorrow I'll get over it. Maybe later on in life I'll patch things up. Right? We look at it like this a lot of times, and we're always delaying and putting things off. But he says to love one another and do this right now. Do it knowing the time. Do it knowing what we're facing and what we are up against. Do you know what the time is? Do you know that the end is near? There's two pastors standing by the side of the road holding up a sign that read, "The end is near, turn around before it's too late." And so one speeding motorist yells out the window, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts!" And he speeds by. From around the curve, they heard screeching tires and they heard a big splash. And the one says to the other, "Do you think maybe we should just put up a sign that says bridge out instead?" Right? But isn't that kind of how the world reacts to Christians when we say the time is short, when we say the end is near? Now, I'm not saying that we need to go hold up a sign that says the end is near, because if someone doesn't know what you're talking about, they're going to say, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts," and they're going to fly around the corner. And this is a funny joke, but you know what? It's not funny that the end really is near and that people really are not awake to it. They're not awake to the fact that our time is short. Do you believe that this morning? Or do you believe I'm a religious nut? Don't answer that, because some of you are thinking both. But we're warned to love one another knowing the time, not being ignorant of the season. Do you know that Jesus could come back at any time? I think we take a little bit of false comfort and false security, people that know some of the prophecies that we think are not fulfilled yet. And there are some that you can point out, and it's pretty clear that they're not fulfilled, at least in the way that we're expecting. Okay, that's something we need to be careful of, because when Jesus showed up on the scene, a lot of them didn't know who he was because they were looking for him to arrive in a manner that was different than what they thought or what he did. They want him to arrive the way he thought. But there's things we can look at and say, well, this hasn't happened and this hasn't happened, so I got plenty of time, because until I see, right, till I see the temple resurrected and rebuilt in Jerusalem, until I see that, I don't really have to worry. That's not necessarily true, right? That's our expectation. I believe that his return is imminent. That means it can happen at any time, because that's what the Word of God tells us. Tells us it could happen at any time. So knowing that he could come back at any time, Billy Graham said, we are to wait for the coming of Christ with patience. We are to watch with anticipation, but we are to work with zeal, and we are to prepare with an urgency. If you knew today was going to be the last day, if you knew it, right? If Jesus made it clear that tomorrow, whatever the date is, because I don't ever know what the date is, whatever tomorrow's date is going to be the last day. Now, I'm not saying some Indians tell us that, or, you know, some cult tells us that. I'm saying if Jesus made it clear in the Word, if you knew it was going to be the last day, how would you spend the time that you have left? I would guess that we wouldn't just be carefree, relaxing, taking it easy. I'll tell those people I'm sorry tomorrow. I'll do this for that person tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. Wouldn't we have a sense of urgency? Wouldn't we be trying to help people that are clueless and that are unprepared, that have no idea that tomorrow is the last day of earth? Right? Wouldn't we? I hope so. I hope so, or we've really missed something. We are not promised the rest of this day. Has anybody in here got a guarantee that you have the rest of this day? I don't. We're not promised the rest of the day. And a week ago when we did a funeral here, I was reminded about how short life is. Right, we see tragic situations, and even if you could have predicted it, even if maybe you could have seen it coming, when we actually see the death, we're reminded life can be really short. It can be snatched up in an instant. We're not promised any certain amount of time. And when you see someone that's young die, and you see the way it affects people that are around him, see the way it affects friends and family, that's heartbreaking. And you think, if only there was just a little bit more time, right? If only there would have been just a couple more days, maybe something else could have happened to make some kind of intervention. Paul tells us, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. When? Now. Right now. Right now is high time to awake up out of sleep today. He doesn't say tomorrow. He doesn't say, you know what, tomorrow's a new day, right? That's a good Christian phrase. It's good if we need a new day. It's not good if we're just trying to put off the work that God has for us to do. It's not, I'll wait for tomorrow. Paul says, today, wake up. Today, you need to get serious about your life. You need to get serious about doing the work and the will of God, because you don't even know if you have a tomorrow. You don't know if the people you need to reach, if they have a tomorrow. They might not. They might not have another hour, another minute. And he says, it's now that it's important. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Wake up now. He says, awake out of sleep. This is a message for the church. Awake out of sleep. Do you think that Paul right now would probably be, he probably would be screaming a lot louder than I am. And he would say, wake up, church. Right? And he could go from church to church to church and preach the same message, saying, wake up. Wake up, because right now is the time. It's not about tomorrow and next week. We're told not to even worry about tomorrow, right? It's right now. It's today. What are you doing and what are you going to do? Followers of Christ need to wake up. Have you ever caught someone sleeping and they try to tell you that they weren't sleeping? Doesn't that drive you crazy? And you're like, no, you were sleeping. And they're like, no, I wasn't. Yeah, you were. I heard you snoring. No, I wasn't snoring. Rocky usually says he wasn't snoring. Xander says his eyes were, he was resting his eyes, right? That's the things that we get at home. It's like, no, you were sleeping, dude. You were breathing real hard. You're like, you were, your body was like dead. You were asleep. You know, you see people that are, they're sleeping and they don't want to admit it. They want to say, no, I wasn't in a deep sleep. I was just, it was a long blink, right? It's like I had something in my eyes. Now, every once in a while, I do close my eyes. My eyes are dry, but, you know, usually I get up and put drops in them. But it's like sometimes people, they don't want to be called out when they were sleeping, when they, maybe they weren't supposed to. Or, you know, a movie was on. It's like they don't want to be the one that fell asleep during the movie. Here's what sleep is. Sleep is the state of inactivity with a loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to the events around you. Right? When I'm asleep, I'm not real responsive to the things that are going on around me. Not until something wakes me up. And then you can ask my family that I'm very responsive when something wakes me up. I'm like, turn that down. I'm trying to take a nap over here. Right? But when you're asleep, you're not very responsive to the things that are going on around you. In the church today, is the church really responsive to the things that are going on around it? Are we really responsive to a lost and hurting and dying world that is outside of these four walls? Are we really? Or are we asleep? That's the question today. We're at such a state in general. The Church of America is in such a state of inactivity and decrease of responsiveness that might think that the church is in a coma, right? I mean, sometimes it's like there's no responsiveness to an outside, hurting, dying world that is around us. We're lacking that urgency. And it's time to wake up. Paul says, for the salvation, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Listen, we are in the end times. That's a fact. We are in it. And we don't know how much longer it's going to last. Paul says we're nearer to that consummation of our salvation. If you don't know, salvation is really a three-part process. There's three steps to salvation. We've been saved. That's justification. That's Christ paying the price for our sin on the cross and us accepting him as Savior. Then we are being saved right now. Sanctification, the actions of the Spirit of God working in our lives and drawing us closer to Christ, making us more like him. But then we will be saved. There will be that consummation, that completeness to salvation, which is glorification. That's when Jesus comes and we are made like him. We are made fully like him. We're not all going to look the same like clones where you can't tell each other apart, right? But you're going to get a glorified body and you will be like him and you will know him in a way that we can't even imagine and we can't even describe today. This is what we have to look forward to. And this is the message that we should be sharing with all people, that you can have that. Everybody can have that, to know him and to be like him one day. This process is getting very close to completed. How close? I don't know. But it's time to wake up. What if it's tomorrow? What if it's today? What if it's before I get done preaching this message today? Mark chapter 3, verse 35 says, "Therefore be alert, since you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at the crowing of the rooster or early in the morning. Otherwise he might come suddenly and find you sleeping." If Jesus comes today, is he going to find you sleeping? Like, that's not a question I can answer. Only you can answer it. Is he going to find you sleeping when he comes? See, there's a spiritual alarm clock that's going off right now. And we get to decide, are we going to hit snooze one more time? Or are we going to wake up? Are we going to wake up and do something? America needs a great awakening. Amen? The church needs a great awakening. And you know what? We need a great awakening. You and I, as individuals, we need a great awakening. We see Samson in the Old Testament. Samson had this tremendous power. Does anybody remember when he lost his power? What he was doing when he lost his power? He was sleeping. Yeah, he was sleeping. He fell asleep in Delilah's lap. And right there is when he lost his power, when he was sleeping. He wasn't awake. He wasn't alert. He wasn't being watchful. And too often today, it seems like people that declare to be Christians have fallen asleep in Satan's lap. That's a hard truth right there. It's a hard reality. Christians are falling asleep in Satan's lap by compromising and living like the world. It's easy to fall asleep in Satan's lap, because all you have to do is nothing. That's all you got to do, nothing. If you do nothing, you're probably over there sleeping, falling asleep right in Satan's lap. Just don't fight back. It's that easy. Just go with the punches. Romans 13:12, "For the night is far spent and the day is at hand," Paul said. "Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Here it night and day are referring to periods of time, right? The night is the period of time right now when sin has dominion over the earth. That time is far spent. It means it's almost gone. That time is almost up. Hallelujah. Who's excited for that? For that time to be almost up. It's almost up. And that day is at hand. What day is that? It's that day when Christ returns to rule and reign. It's what we were singing about earlier, about him coming to marry us. And as a guy, sometimes that can be weird to wrap your mind around. But listen, the only reason, or the one of the primary reasons, I guess, that we have marriage on this earth is so that we can understand the relationship between the church and Christ. That we as men will be a bride. We as men should be excited and looking forward to be a bride. Not with other people on earth, right? With Christ in heaven. Don't, if you're going to quote that or anything, make sure that you use the whole thing in context. Don't make me out looking like I'm supporting that. But we are going to be the bride. He's coming back. That day is at hand. I mean, think about this statement that Paul is making. The night, that period is almost over, and the day is at hand. That means it is near. It's near. It's not far away. Sometimes we think it's far away. It's not. And I realize this was written a couple thousand years ago, but you know what? It's still near. It's nearer now than it was when he wrote it. And he wrote this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So if 2,000 years ago it was near, it's really near. It's a lot closer than it was. Mark 13, Jesus tells us about some events that leading up to his return, which are actually the scriptures that Jason read earlier, the exact verses. This is the verse following what he read. He said, "So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors." this day is near, and it's so near that before we know it, it's going to be at the door. Right at the door, right outside. You're not going to be able to escape it. We're one step away from his return being fully present. One step, an instant, it can happen. God's people must be prepared to be the bride. We must be prepared. You think about brides. When's the last time you went to a wedding and the bride was totally not prepared? Just walked out in her sweats with her hair in a bun. I mean, maybe a courthouse wedding, but I'm talking about, you know, a full ceremony where they invite everybody they know. You don't see the bride walk out unprepared, right? You see a bride that walks out. Not only did she spend all day preparing, but she's been spending the last several months preparing. And there's probably been nothing else going on in her life, like work while working, thinking about the wedding, right? While sleeping, dreaming about the wedding, while having supper, talking about the wedding. Everything has been in preparation for that day, for months and months and months. All they do is prepare. What does that tell us? Does that tell us that maybe, just maybe, that we should be preparing for that day when we meet the Lord? You think maybe we should be putting that amount of effort into preparing to meet our groom? We should be making ourselves presentable. Listen, I don't want to show up and Jesus is like, ooh, that's not what I expected. Right? That's funny, isn't it? Thank you, Donovan. That's good. Get that on the recording. Somebody laughed. All right. So in these verses here in Romans 13, three ups. The first one I've already kind of hit on here is wake up. We've got to wake up, church. We've got to. Now, many of us are like, well, I'm already awake. I kind of know what you're talking about. I read the scriptures. I pray. I talk to people about Jesus. I'm awake. When I say wake up, I want to tell you that it's something a little more than just I'm a pretty active Christian. Up, the word up means a more elevated position. It means a higher point or degree. So you may already be awake, but you know what? Being awake and waking up are not the same thing. Waking up is you need to be alert and you need to get in a more elevated position. You need to be awake to a higher degree. If you don't really understand that, you think about someone who wakes up in the morning. I know there's some in this church that are like this. Don't you even talk to me before I get my cup of coffee, right? I know that there's some of you, I've heard it, right? If not from you, from your spouse, right? Or from a friend. But there's people that are like that. They're awake, right? But they need to wake up more, right? They need to go to a different level of being awake, and sometimes it's going to take something to get them there. And so they need to wake more, to a higher degree, whatever that is. Maybe you're not a coffee drinker. Maybe it's a shower for you. Maybe it's like, don't even talk to me before I get in my shower, right? Because I'm a grouch and I need to get in there and get woken up. You're already awake, right? You're talking, you're walking, you're functioning. But sometimes you need to get awake to a higher degree. Whatever it is that you need to do physically to get yourself prepared for the day. Are we getting ourselves spiritually prepared for our day? We need to wake up. Right? We need to be not just alert, not just conscious of what's going on, but we need to be spiritually prepared to this point that we are in a more elevated position, that we are awake and we are alert to a higher degree of what is going on around us and asking God what we can do. Right? How can I help be a part of this solution? Once you wake up, the next thing is time to clean up, right? Time to clean up. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not talking about works for salvation. I'm not talking about that. Clean up. He said, the night is over and the day is almost here. You know what happens when the day comes? All that happened in the dark gets light shed on it, right? All that was in the dark will be exposed. Things that are hidden and unseen will now be uncovered. They will be visible in the light. He said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. This right here is a military metaphor from the Roman times. And the Roman military, and probably military today, still is doing this in some places. Maybe everywhere. I wasn't in there, so I don't know. But the Roman military at night, they would get back to their tents. They would take off their armor. And all of a sudden, now it's the night, right? We worked during the day. We battled during the day. Now it's night. The tent would turn into a party scene, right? The tent would turn into this place of having a good time. They would be drinking and fighting and talking about women, telling dirty jokes, whatever it was that they were doing, causing, you know, a ruckus and turmoil sometimes in the camp. And eventually the camp would go to sleep. All the soldiers would go to sleep. I don't know what time. But then at the first glimpse of dawn, the watchman would yell out, "The night is departing. The day is advancing. Arise, comrades, and prepare to meet the light." And immediately the camp would wake up. They would get up and they would begin to clean up. They would take out those night garments, and they'd begin to clean their armor, and they would clean it to the point where it was so clean and so spotless that when light hit it, it would cast off of it. They were getting ready for inspection because the sergeant was coming. This is what this metaphor comes from. It comes from this military expression. We are to cast off those things that are done in darkness. I'm not saying do bad stuff at night, wake up in the morning and be like, "Okay, I got my Bible." I'm saying the night, remember, this time, this period's about to end. That's the period where sin reigns. And the period where sin reigns in your life, hopefully you've done something about that. Hopefully your night is behind you and you're just battling every day. Hopefully you're just in the day battling for victory every day. But it's not okay to just do those things at night and clean up in the morning, but know that the day is at hand. It's dawn. We can see a glimpse of Christ's return, right? We can see it in the things that are going on in the earth. We can see it in the descriptions and the things he gives us in the word, even what we were singing about earlier, right? It's like we can see it in our mind. We can see him coming, and it's bright. It's bright in our minds. It's something that we can picture. If you've never pictured that, I'm telling you, you need to go home and look up those verses, read them, and just sit there and pray and just try to picture what that looks like when Jesus comes back. It'll create some excitement in your life. It'll give you something to be excited about. Jan has a couple of really good paintings. As a matter of fact, we got a couple in the fellowship hall that are available if somebody wants one. But picture what that's like. It's so near. He's almost at the door. We must cast off the things that are not going to pass inspection. We must put on the armor of light. We should be reflecting that light. This armor is so bright that when the light hits it, it's going to bounce back off. And we should amplify the light in this world. Romans 13:13, he said, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife or envy. Let us walk properly as in the day." Listen, you choose to walk properly. That's what it says. Let us do it. Let us do it. Let's walk properly. You get to choose. This is speaking of your conduct. It's not speaking of those around you. It's not speaking of your circumstances. It's not speaking of how other people are impacting your life, because we so often like to lay the blame of sin on other people, that they caused me to do this, right? No, you choose. You choose to do it. And if you choose to do it, you choose what you look at. You choose what you listen to. You choose what you say. You choose what you think and what thoughts you dwell on if you don't take those captive. You choose what to do. Therefore, you also choose what you don't do. Right? Isn't that the greatest thing about free will? That we get to choose what we do, but we also get to choose what we don't do. Praise the Lord. Your spiritual walk is similar to somebody physically learning to walk. And we've seen that a lot with the kids we've got around here. You know, when a child's learning to walk, it's really pretty simple, right? I mean, walking is simple. It's two simple steps repeated over and over. Right, right, left, right, left, right, left. I mean, it's really simple. It's not complicated. And as they fall over, you know, they take a couple steps, they fall over, They pull themselves back up, or a parent picks them up and they try it again and again and again. Do they give up? No. They keep trying. Even if they get hurt and fall down and they're crying, eventually they're going to get up and they're going to try it again. If they don't, you know what's going to happen? They will never walk. I believe that wholeheartedly. I don't believe that God's going to be like, it's okay, it's a miracle, and now you can walk. Right? They learn to walk. It's a process of them trying it over and over and over and over and over. They're not going to just miraculously learn to walk. It takes practice. It takes persistence. And you know what? It takes the help of mom and dad, right? It's like one of the most fun things about being a parent. It's when you get to put your two fingers down there and like walk the kid, right? And you're like trying to like force them to take that step, right? But you're helping them as a parent. The mom and dad get to help the kid get to walk, assisting them. And you're there with them for every step. And it takes doing it day after day till it becomes easier. And then at some point, right, walking becomes so easy that you don't even think about it. It's just a part of your regular life. You know, it's the same with our simple, or with our spiritual walk. It's a simple process. We make it complicated. Well, how do I do this? And we refer to passages like Paul, I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I do want to do and all that. And we refer to those passages and we're like, well, if Paul couldn't do it, then, you know, I can't do it. It's just complicated. We'll never figure out this battle of the flesh versus the spirit. No, it's really simple. It's as simple as a child learning how to walk. It consists of two simple steps that are repeated over and over and over and over. Turn from sin, follow Jesus. Turn from sin, follow Jesus. Turn from sin, follow Jesus. It's not complicated. And you know what? If you fall down and you fail, it may hurt, you may cry, but you get up and you do it again. You get up and you try it again. You don't give up, because if you do, you will never learn to walk. And you know what? A lot of us get to that point. There's a lot of people that get to that point. This is too hard. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to quit. Well, if you would have done that when you were a baby, you still wouldn't be able to walk today. Why do we give up when it comes to our spiritual walk? You don't give up. You get up and you try it again and you try it again. You know what? It's not going to just miraculously happen. See, we get that false sense of God can do anything, and we think that he's just going to fix our spiritual walk by the snap of a finger, right? We think that God's just going to, you know what? This is hard for me, so Lord, just make it easy, right? Make me, and I've prayed this way before, Lord, just let me just follow the Spirit every day. Like whatever you need to do in me, let me just be able to follow the Spirit every moment of every day and not walk in the flesh. I've prayed those prayers. And you know what I usually hear back? You do it. I'm serious. That's what I usually hear back is, you do it. It says, let us walk properly. It doesn't say God will cause you to walk properly. It doesn't say he will make you walk properly. He'll help you. Just like that parent helps the little kid with the two fingers. You know what? The Holy Spirit is doing that in your life. He is trying to help you. But you know what? Even a kid help, or a parent helping the kid still trips and falls down even holding the fingers. Right? They do it and they bite it and you're like, there's not much more I could have done besides pick him up and carry him. I don't know. Melody, would you like to be carrying Eric around today? See, that'd be pretty rough. It's like, they're going to fall even when you're helping. And you know what? We're going to fall even when the Holy Spirit is helping us along that walk. It doesn't mean that we quit and we give up. It requires persistence. It requires us relying on that help every step of the way and letting him help us. And it takes every single day doing it until it becomes easier and easier and easier. And I promise there will be a point where you're doing it so often and so well that it will be a natural part of life to follow the Spirit. It's just that we all give up before that point. We all give up before that. And like, that hurts. I don't like it. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm going to sit here and cry. Somebody come change my diaper. Right? I just told you guys, I don't want to get back to that point. We need to be persistent in our following of Jesus and walking in the Spirit. John MacArthur said, by the indwelling Spirit working through our new nature in Christ, we not only have every resource necessary to forsake the deeds of darkness, but also every resource we need to put on the armor of light. Wake up and clean up. You know, even if you already feel pretty clean, we need to be clean to a higher degree. Even if you feel like you're already walking in the Spirit and following God, we need to do it to a higher degree. Amen? We need to be striving toward holiness. Listen, that's a level that we'll never fully attain in this life, but it doesn't mean that we don't fully try. It doesn't mean that we ever quit pursuing. And finally, the third thing is grow up. A lot of you are like, wow, that's kind of mean. I'm older than you. I'm grown up. You grow up, right? We all need to. We need to grow up. It's the third thing we need to do. Grow up. Verse 14 said, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. Say no provision. No provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. It's time that we recognize that we're all growing and we're all going to continue to do so. It's just, which way are you growing? We growing up or down? Right? We grow in closer to Jesus or closer to this world? We grow in closer to a heavenly eternity or closer to an eternity in hell? Remember, part of that word up is a more elevated position. Growing up is not just getting taller and it's not just getting older. That's not the extent of growing up. Growing up means that you're growing toward an elevated position. It means that spiritually you can be at a higher point than where you are headed, where you're at right now. We can get to that place. Jason, if you'll come up. Instead of trying to force ourselves into new habits, Paul says we should clothe ourselves. Clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ himself and stop thinking about all the ways to gratify these other desires. Charles Stanley said this, we know we should avoid a certain place, but we go there anyway. We recognize a personal weakness for a particular activity, but we tempt ourselves anyway. How often do we fall into sin because we plan for it? How often do we fall into sin because we plan for it? Right? We may not write it out. We may not tell somebody we're going to do it, but mentally, it's like, we're kind of talking ourselves to it, working our way to it. We put ourselves in positions we shouldn't. Listen, when we seek to follow Christ, that's when we truly put him first. Putting on Christ, wearing Christ. That sounds kind of weird, right? But it's putting him on as your garments, as your clothing, as your protection for that day. It's putting off the old stuff that we have, right? That's part of growing up. Part of growing up is I don't wear like Paw Patrol shirts. You guys would probably turn me in, right? Probably be calling for some help if I was wearing a Paw Patrol shirt or some kind of, I didn't wear princess shirts when I was a kid. I don't know why I was getting ready to use that for an example. But part of growing up is you kind of change what you wear as you grow up. And you know what? As you grow up in Christ, you know what? Sometimes it's time to throw out your wardrobe and like, I need to put on Christ. I need to put on holiness. I need to put on righteousness. I need to put on even those garments of praise that we talk about in the Old Testament. Putting on Christ carries this idea that we're making Jesus a part of everything that we say and that we do. You know, Jesus wants to join us in the decision-making process. He wants to be our Lord no matter what our circumstances are. He wants to be the Lord over you when you're single and when you're married. Doesn't matter. He wants to be your Lord over your career and over your free time just the same. He wants to be your Lord over what you hear and what you say and over what you watch and what you show people. By the way you live your life, you reveal that he is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Church, it's time for God's people to wake up. It's time for them to clean up and it's time for them to grow up. Amen? If you would stand with me in this place. And today we're going to open up the altars in just a moment. And if you need prayer today, if you have a need in your life and you're saying, I need somebody to stand in faith with me, Natasha, would you be able to come down and pray for people? I'm going to have Natasha come down and pray for people, and then I'll be down here as well. You can come to either one of us. But listen, we have so much junk that we deal with in our lives that I don't know why we hang on to them the way that we do. I don't know why when we say we believe in the power of prayer and then we just sit around in our pity, right? We may ask somebody to pray for us, but it's kind of almost like that's just what we do as a Christian is, hey, I got this going on. Will you pray for me? How about let's get real? How about if you need prayer this morning, come down and ask somebody, I need somebody to pray for me, right? And part of it can be this right here, but I'm going to pray about these things for us. So if you would close your eyes, bow your heads this morning. Lord, we thank you for this message in Romans. Lord, we thank you for the word that you spoke through Paul. And God, that the time is short. The time is near. That the time of our salvation being completed, it's closer than it's ever been. And Lord, we pray for an awakening right now, today. Start with us right here. Lord, give us an awakening. Give us that vision. Help us to see, Lord, God, that we don't just say that the time is short, but it really is short. God, that we would wake up, Lord, and we would become responsive to the world around us. Lord, let us not just lay there motionless and unresponsive and unconscious to what's going on. And we don't just want to be conscious of it, but we want to be responsive. Teach us, Lord, God, that we can be awake to a higher degree, to a higher level, Lord, that we would truly wake up. And Lord, help us to clean up. Lord, we so desperately need to walk in the Spirit. Help us to not give up. Help us to continue to pursue you and to come after you day after day after day. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how many times we fall down, that we know that the Spirit of the living God is with us and is helping us along that path. And Lord, we pray that you help us to grow up. Lord, that we would put on Christ, that each and every day, Lord, we'd cast off those outer garments, those things of the old, of who we used to be. It's not about who we used to be. It's not about who we think we are. It's not who others think we are. But it's that in Christ, we are a new creation in Jesus' name. So we pray that we would put that on every day, that we would have that declaration over our lives that says, I am not a failure. I am not that person I used to be. But behold, you make all things new. And so I'm new, and I'm in Christ, and I'm here to take on this world and to do what you have called me to do. Let that be our heart's desire each and every day when we wake up and when we lie down. So we ask you to have your way with us and lead us down the path that you have for our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.